the latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit.
Kia ora, g'day and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse One, and we will discuss all things rugby league from around the world. The terrible twosome are gracing your airways, and that is the Earl of Rugby League, that's Leon Price, and yours truly. We also have Jakey Dunmas across the social media, and Ewan is trying out his new sound desk, which he doesn't seem too confident with. Tonight we're giving away two tickets to the Bulls Foundation Nando's Takeover on the evening of July the 6th. Loads lined up for the evening, with Bulls first team is serving, cooking and hosting your table, as well as players, Q&As and prizes to be won. Raffle tickets, you name it. Absolutely loads going on the night. So loads of fun. If you want your chance to win, then answer this question. What club did Leon Price leave to join Catalan's Dragons in 2000 and what, Leon? What time?
2000 and end of 2005, start of 2006.
He didn't even know. No, to join the Catalan's Dragons.
Yeah, 2010.
Contact us at pulse1.co.uk/RHB show or just use Twitter and hashtag RHB show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Well, that's not the way to start, Leon. We don't even know when
it
you
might be 2011, actually.
2011.
Yeah, I think so.
The question was, what club did Leon leave? Obviously, he left the Bradford Bulls in 2005, but into the 2006 season, he joined that club. But what was the club that he left to then go on, well, that he joined from Bradford and then he left to join Catalan? So that is the question for this evening. You can, if you want to play for that prize, you can also get in touch if you want to throw us a question, something that maybe you deem as a hot topic in the world of rugby league. Please send a question our way. Leon, how are you feeling? I've got to admit, I'm feeling a little bit down.
Why?
Well, I'm feeling a little bit down because today was the second game of State of Origin. We've just been watching the highlight. Both of us were working this morning, so we couldn't see the game live. We've just been watching the highlights, and the Maroons have lost. I'm not even going to say who they've lost to, the Blues. But it's depressing.
Well, I'm happy. I'm quite happy. It levels the series up. It means we get one more exciting game to come.
And you are a plastic Blues fan as well, aren't you?
I'm a plastic Blues fan, but at the same time, I remember I'm not an Australian, so it doesn't matter to me that much.
It matters to me. I grew up with the sport, and you know what I mean. It is positioned as the number one most, representative game in the world of rugby league. Which actually, the last time we discussed it, we were discussing, because New Zealand is now number one, should we now be looking at the international table? I think we put one eye on it, one eye off it. It doesn't really matter. The Maroons have lost. I'm disappointed. I'm devastated. Not only that, I'm tired as well.
I'm tired too.
I'm
always tired.
I mean, you obviously off this weekend in the south of France. Your missus actually came up. Carly, if you're listening at home, thank you for coming up and supporting the Bulls. It was big Leslie Vinicolo's send-off, as we heard Les on the show last weekend. But you were away in the south of France and you had a close loss. What was that all about?
It was a very, very disappointing loss. Very tough game. Always is when you go to France. It's such a long journey. I mean, we travelled from Leeds Bradford Airport. We flew at 7 o'clock in the morning, which means we had to put up at 4. Then we've got flew to Barcelona. Then we've got a 3-hour bus drive all the way up to Perpignan. And then by the time we get there, you're absolutely shattered. So it's what all the teams face. And obviously, I'm not complaining too much, but it's one of the reasons that Dragons have got such a good record there is that the trip takes a lot out of you. So,
yeah, it certainly does. And obviously, we look outside the window now, 16 degrees. It's been spitting and raining over the last couple of days. It's warm, you know, by our standards, but it's not what you get when you get to Catalans, is it?
No, it's very, it was very, very warm, but it's very humid. So you find it very hard to catch your breath. So it kind of slows the game down for you. It's hard to put as much effort into defence as you'd usually like to do. And that can make the game quite open a lot. But yeah, it was a tough game. Tough to take because we scored a try that got disallowed in the last 10 minutes, which would have took us level. So yeah, we're disappointed, but there we go.
There's another element that has to be taken into account as well, and a lot of people wouldn't think that, but food. I mean, it's very different when you're at home, and preparation for these games on the road are very different to anything you ever sort of encounter when you have your day-to-day game, because the majority of the rugby league, Super League games are across the north of England. So you're stopping at home the night before, you're getting on the bus, it's an hour Either way, well, actually, if you're catching the bus from Hull, then actually it can be 2 hours down to Lancashire. But majority of the time, you are at home.
Yeah.
But when you go to Catalans, obviously you're in the hotel for 2 nights.
Yeah.
And what many people won't think of is obviously the food is put on for you. The big buffet-style meals. And you overeat a lot of the time because the food's there.
You don't
take into account actually how much food you can consume because there's no else to do.
I think you would overeat more if you were staying in the hotel in England, but the food in France is not what the English boys like. I'm used to it because I lived there for 3 years, but the food that's available in France is not the same. it's not what the English boys like. So I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is probably finding the meals that you would have when you were at home.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's more of a problem to them.
I know what you mean. I remember going on an international tour, and it was a tour of Great Britain and England, and then but it also there was a one test in France as we finished off the tour, and obviously the Kiwi management crew had said to the hotel where we were stopping, we want to make sure that the players need eggs and beans in the morning. For their breakfast, eggs and beans, so like what you get in England, and toast and sausages or something like that. So there were eggs and beans, but they were green beans.
Yeah, it's just different. It's different.
Green beans. Who's ever had green beans for breakfast?
It's a different way out there. It's a different way, but I'm used to it, so I were okay. But you know, the English boys, like, they don't like, they're not too keen on the baguettes or the ham and cheese baguettes, which you get thrown around everywhere. But yeah, we're okay.
Did you stay at the hotel, which is on the golf course?
Yeah, I was at the golf course, where just like 2 minutes away from where I used to live when I lived in France.
So obviously, there's post-match, you finish the game, you come back to the hotel. The next day, you're catching the flight back. Is that in the afternoon?
Yeah, the next day, we got up about 10 o'clock. We did the video review. We had recovery swimming pool session, and then we didn't leave until about 12. No, sorry, 2 o'clock we left to travel down to Barcelona. Then we had a flight at about 8 o'clock at night.
Okay, you're one of the oldest statesmen in the Superliga as we speak about this time. You make no qualms about that. How's your recovery going? Obviously, these games and that sort of humidity, that sort of travel, takes you out of your normal sink. How's the body feeling?
On Monday, I was absolutely out on my feet. I couldn't walk. I just couldn't wake up. give me 3 weeks off, man. I'm tired out. No, but by Tuesday I was okay. We're supposed to have Monday off and come in on Tuesday, but the boys were that tired that they said I've Tuesday off as well, and we've been in today instead. So I was just tiring, but that's life.
Mate, I know how you feel. I played for the Mighty Stags on Saturday afternoon. We played against the league table toppers, which is York Acorn.
How did you play?
You know, like for the oldest guy in the league, which I think I am the oldest guy in the league, I reckon I went all right. Scored a try.
Yep.
Top of my head. I fell over the try line. I didn't realise I was scoring a try, but I just sort of, you know, fright and flight, sidestepped the player to get out of his way or else he was going to smash me. Fell between two players because I was just trying to control and hold the ball. When I looked up, I'd actually got over the try line. But someone had sort of kneed me in the top of the head.
On purpose.
Well, I don't know if it was on purpose or not.
It will have been.
But claret was coming out and it looked like a right hard man.
Did you win?
Hey, we just win. It was a brilliant game. But I got a crusher tackle in the game. That's when the guy gets you from behind, but they hold on to you, so your back of your neck is sort of pressed up against the stomach, and they go down, which forces your head forward onto your chest, which crushes the back of your neck, and that's what's called a crusher tackle. Now they've outlawed that in Australia, and they've come down on it pretty hard, and obviously every game is televised. But I got to admit, these last 4 days, I haven't been able to move my head. I've just been sat there, just sort of turning. And that, you know, you were saying, give me 3 weeks off. That's basically how often I play. I need 3 weeks to recover. All right, let's have a look back at last weekend's results. Obviously, you guys were away at Catalans, 20 points to 14. You just lost out there. You could hear the disappointment in your voice because you know that game was up for the taking, but one try there wasn't allowed, but that's just the way rugby league goes. Huddersfield and Warrington, 30 points to 19. Apparently a bit of spite in that game. Anthony England actually been suspended for 3 weeks for spitting.
4 weeks.
4 weeks. Is it 4 weeks? Sorry. 4 weeks for spitting on Danny Brough. Yeah. But yay. There's no
love lost.
There's no fire without water. There's no fire without a spark, isn't there? You know what Danny's like. He's a fiery character. I would like to have known what happened.
I don't know.
But there were yellow cards being handed out, all sorts in that game.
The two separate incidents, weren't there?
Oh, were they?
There was an incident between Darrell Clark and the young centre. and then Donnybrook and England. But it's a fiery game. Them two teams are very physical teams, so it's no surprise there for me, really.
So 30 points to 19, a good score for Huddersfield at home against one of the top teams. I think Huddersfield are starting to stake their claim in that, you know, being their top four, top five type of team. Hull KR versus Widnes, 38 points to 16. Is that a surprise?
I think it's a surprise, this one, without Campese. Campese gone for the season with his ACL.
Well, actually, they've sent him down to London to have one of the specialists down there to check him out to see whether or not
I think it's very much looking like an ACL from what the rumours I'm getting over.
And there's just not enough time left in the season, is it? We've gone way past that halfway point now.
But with Widnes, the way that they performed at Magic Weekend and obviously the big raps that they were getting, and obviously they lost to us, but not too badly, you would have expected them to be kind of looking the form team in that round, and they've been tonked there.
Another big game, St Helens versus Wigan. Saints confident winners on the night.
Massive win for St Helens. I know Kieran Cunningham's absolutely delighted with this win.
It's personal when it comes to these local derbies.
But I think Wigan lost it more than Saints won it. I thought Wigan helped in their own downfall there in this game.
On Thursday night, we saw Leeds and Castleford 24 points to 31.
I don't think you'll see Leeds play much poorer than that all season. Yeah. I know Cass won and they must take the plaudits, but if Leeds play that bad again this season, I'll be very, very surprised.
Well, the second half of the first half, the second 20 minutes of the game, Leeds really showed that they, you know, what the sort of game, rugby league, that their ability shows, but they didn't come out in the second half, did they?
No, I think they got the team selection a little bit mixed up myself, personally. Mm. I think Sinfield is still of massive importance for that team. I think he probably, looking back, should have started the game. And, you know, he's the leader and gets them around the field. So they won't play that bad again.
All right, the final game of the Super League was Wakefield versus Salford. Wakey put up a good fight, 16 points to 24. Brian Smith's first proper job game in charge, even though he was there the week before, but he had a full week to prepare for that game. All right, we've got loads to cover, including looking at the championship results and all of the sports, hot topics, all that and more coming soon. And we'll be back to stay with us after the break. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Hey, West Yorkshire, Robbie Hunter Paul here, and we're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening here on Pulse One. Now, if you want to win two tickets to the Bulls Nando's Takeover, and there's loads going on, you get a free feed, throwing in. Everybody loves Nando's, loves their Portuguese chicken. There'll be Q&A sessions, there'll be raffle prizes, there'll be prizes to be won on the night, and the players will cook your food. I'm not sure if that's a big advantage for coming in. They will serve your food and they will host your tables. We're also going to be doing a Q&A with a load of the Bulls stars, so you'll get to ask your questions from the floor. Also, now if you want a chance to win that prize, you can just contact us via the website on pulse1.co.uk/RHP show, or you can get to us on Twitter, just hashtag RHP show, and just answer this question. What club did Leon leave to join Catalans back in 2010? Was it 2011?
Yeah, 11,
Leon?
11.
2010, 2011. He's played for so many clubs, you know, we can't remember. He's so old.
All four.
18 clubs he's played for.
In 18 years.
What was your amateur club that you played
Queensbury.
For? Queensbury. But you're a Whipsy lad now, is it?
I'm up to
West Bowling. What am I saying? They're saying something wrong. Okay, we've got a question, actually, a question from social media. So I'm going to hand over to Jakey DeMuss. Jakey, and this is coming from Craig Padgett.
Craig Padgett's tweet is, what is the standard of the referee in the championship? It was shocking.
He's referring to the standard of refereeing in the championship. But actually, this is a question that I want to throw towards Leon, because there's actually, every time I open up the trade rags over the past couple of months, there's coach after coach calling for more investment in refereeing. Leon, can you, I mean, obviously without going into too much detail and being careful that you know, you got to pick your words correctly because you could get fined, you know.
I'm not saying too much. I'm not that stupid.
Part of your Super League contract means that you can't, you know, paint too bad a picture. But what is the standard of refereeing being from a player's point of view, you know, being as honest as you can?
I just think it's very up and down on some of the the areas that you're not too sure if. Sometimes it's a penalty, sometimes it's not. It can be up and down. It's varied, basically. And sometimes I think it's hard to get a good relationship with the referees because it can be quite hostile on the field. You know, it's very hard to talk and get a relationship unless you're a senior player. It's a little bit easier when you're a little bit older, but I think more investment needs to go in for the referees to help them, really. I think there needs to be more referees.
So you're a big, big advocate for actually sending money their way.
Oh, yeah, big time, 100%.
I mean, it's a bit of a strange one because back in the day when I first started playing, the professional game, you literally had just a referee himself, no one else. He had his linesmen there on, and they had some sort of calls. But now you've got a referee. He's got someone talking to him constantly in the air. He's got the pressure. If it's a TV game, he's got a camera sellotape to his head. And that looks ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah, it does.
He knows that there's millions of people watching at home. The scope for referees has changed completely. Do you think that adds to the pressure of the referees themselves?
Well, I think it adds to the pressure of everything. The game is such high profile now. It's on Sky. You're getting big wages. You get people under pressure. You get coaches under pressure. You know, it's a multi-million pound business. So everybody else is under pressure. The referees are under pressure to make the right calls. The players are under pressure to perform, and the teams are under pressure to win. So especially when it's on Sky television games, everybody's under so much more scrutiny, and the referee is the one that controls the games, and at the end of the day, they make the calls that decide if you're going to win or lose the game. So I think it comes with the territory of how rugby's grown over the years to the sport it is now, you know, one of the most watched sports on television.
You know, there's a frustration for supporters because we from the sidelines see it happen, but a lot of supporters don't know that actually the calls are being made in the meetings at the beginning of the year with Super League coaches. But referees seem to sort of pick on one element of the game at different times of the year. And what a lot of supporters out there don't really know is that actually what they have is they have these big general meetings where all the coaches come together and they talk about what they believe is affecting the quality and level, the quality level of the games themselves. But personally, do you think that the referees are being too invasive in the matches? You know, they're blowing their whistles too much, they're getting too involved.
I'm not too sure, really. I've got to probably say, be careful what I say again. I think my biggest problem is every year there's a new rule. Every year they've got to change something every year. The obstruction rule last year. People stopped watching the game because the obstruction rule became pathetic and, you know, overused. Now this year, that's totally fine. Last year, if you touched the ball with your foot, if you didn't touch the ball with your foot, it's a penalty. This year, people just roll it through your legs. Every year, there's a new. If your back foot's on the line, it's okay. Next year, change it. Both of you have got to be on the back line. Keep the same rules so that everybody knows what's going on year in, year out. And if there's something to change, make small changes. There's drastic changes every year. It's frustrating for the players. They come in at the start of the year, right, this year, this is what we're changing. Bang, 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 bang. Got seven different law changes. Next year, you start season again, there might be another 10. The game's changing all the time. You don't need to change. The game's not broken. You don't need to try and fix it.
And I think part of the frustration, especially if you're watching from the terraces, is that, you know, you obviously, that information has been thread through to the players. Now, if the players aren't getting it, if the players aren't switching on straight away, it definitely isn't going to the supporters. And I think that is a frustration that the supporters are feeling because, you know, if the players don't know the differences between the rules or the variations on the rules, how am I as a supporter supposed to get it?
Charlotte should make it public, shouldn't they? It should be in the press.
It is in the public domain, and they do put it into the public domain, but that doesn't mean it's going to get that complete saturation. Yeah. I think that's where the real frustration comes in. And when it's a slight variant on the rule, that's when it becomes ultimately confusing because even the refs themselves can get it confused.
Yeah, and I think the problem is the consistency of calls. I think the fans are frustrated because it's not the same calls every week. It's the varied on sometimes a penalty, sometimes it's not. And I think if they stop changing the rules and the laws every single year and try to keep it to a basic format, then you won't have this problem because there won't be so many changes each year. And I think that's the main problem.
Well, here's another question then. Josh Hodgson, England hooker, now playing his trade with the Canberra Raiders, playing really well for the Canberra Raiders, also stamping his position as the number one hooker for the Raiders, and they've played really well this season also, is saying that there are massive advantages to having two refs on the field. Do you think that may be the way forward?
I think it could be a way forward, and it'll be a good way forward, but we struggle to get one referee that's adequate, really, for all the games.
But with two referees, could that release the pressure on that
it could
one referee?
Do, but it could
that
do. But we don't have enough
two referees. One referee can focus on the ruck. The second referee can focus on the other elements of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for that. But realistically, we've not even got enough referees to go around for one referee in the whole of Super League. Never mind two. So unless we start getting more referees in the game and trained up fast, then no, it's never going to happen.
Well, referees are always going to be a hot topic in rugby league. Actually, they're going to be a hot topic in any sport because their variations on the rules are always key to our enjoyment. So stay around, listeners. We'll be back soon. We'll continue with all of the hot topics, including yours. All that and more coming soon.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.
On 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
You're listening to the RHP Show here on Pulse One. And don't forget, we want your views. And also, if you want to win two tickets to the Bulls Nando's Takeover with loads, absolutely loads going on the evening, which is the 6th of July. Just answer this question. What club did Leon leave to join Catalans in 2011?
Yep.
Yeah, 2011. And he joined that club at the end of the 2005 season. 2006 season was his first year there after he left the Bradford Bulls. Now, actually, I just realised after the last segment, I didn't go through the championship results from the weekend, so I'll quickly go through those. Hunslet versus Halifax, 8 points to 14. Close game there for Hunslet. They would have been disappointed not to come away with the spoils there. Sheffield v. Whitehaven, 26 points to 16. Batley lost to Lee, 12 points to 26 in a tough battle down there. Bradford and Dewsbury had a real tough battle up at the Providence Stadium, but the Bulls won out 22 points to 18. Doncaster versus London, again, Doncaster still struggling to pick up those first 2 points. 4 points to 30 to London. Workington got absolutely hammered at home by Featherston, 52 points to nil to Workington. And that was last weekend's championship roundup. In the next segment, we'll look forward to what's going on this weekend coming up. But first, Leon.
That's me.
Got to bring you into this one. Oh, it was absolutely astonishing. I don't know how to say it because I got to admit, I'm not one of the type of people that likes to talk about these sort of real gross things. But on the Footy Show, which is a rugby league show down under, it's won an amazing awards over the last 20 years, been going on for donkey's years since 1995 or 94, I think, was when the show first was launched. It's won amazing type of awards. It's a live show. They've been running this competition where they bring in former professional rugby players. I think Ben Ross and, what was his name? I'm having a mind blank at the moment. Wendell Saylor, well, that was the thing. But Ben Ross was the reigning champion anyway. Their two players came in last weekend and they had been having an arm wrestle off. And Ben Ross beat the former player and that name will come to me. But last week, Wendell Saylor was the person that stepped up to try and take the title off Ben Ross. They went for the arm wrestle. Halfway through, Ben Ross' arm snapped live on air. It was absolutely gross, disgusting. It went like the sample of the live show went like wildfire around TV.
Been all over Facebook and what have you, and all the
social media. Oh, yeah. I mean, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
Oh, I got to admit, I'm one of those people that I cringe. I can't look at stuff like that. But I've seen it about 15 times.
It brought a little tear to my eye.
Oh, horrible, wasn't it? Absolutely horrible. Ben Ross was going to hospital where it says that he said to Wendell Saylor, "It wasn't your fault, mate, and you haven't won. I'll wrestle you with my left arm." But apparently, Wendell Saylor is distraught and he's retiring from arm wrestling. But just think about it. If you're the guy and someone's arm
snaps
while you're holding on to it,
and just,
you feel it go limp. Did you see Wendell Saylor's face?
Yeah.
He stood there going, the whole crowd, everyone just went silent and just Ben Ross, the poor lad.
I think it made it a little bit more entertaining because it was live TV and there's nothing he could do about it, was there?
No.
You can't not show it.
Everyone was at shock, wasn't it?
Everybody's watching, so it's all straight onto social media. So, yeah, it's quite a nasty
event. I mean, you've done some promos in your time. Anything crazy like that?
Nah. Not that crazy.
Nothing to get you into trouble with, eh?
Not like that. No, that's crazy, man.
You've not been asked to jump off anything or do any type of...
They're not going to ask me to arm wrestle, although they've seen me. I've not got a muscle on my body. Put pepper on me, man.
All right, well, we had to mention that because obviously it's been such a topical point. Both producer Ewan's just watching it on YouTube. He's not seen it yet. Well, he's seen it now. It's terrible, isn't it, Ewan?
It's bad.
It is horrible. We had to mention it, obviously, when we're talking about hot topics. It has been one of the hot topics in the world of rugby league. But let's leave the arm wrestling up to the arm wrestlers and rugby players. Let's keep you sticking to rugby. All right, another one of the hot topics going around. Kieran Cunningham stating this week that James Robey is better than him. Now, Leon, you've played with both these guys. You've played with both these guys, you could argue, at the heights of their careers.
I've played with the three best hookers I've ever played in Super League. James Laws, James Robey, and Kieran Cunningham. So I'm very privileged.
So when you say, when you hear Kieran state something like that, because, I mean, I got to admit, I hold Kieran as one of the greatest players I've ever experienced playing against. At the same time as that, and in the other hand, I hold James Robey in that same category.
You're not going to get two like that again. All I'll say is, Kieran Cunningham was a creative genius as well as such a dynamic runner, so very hard to tackle at the top of his game for a very, very long time. He's got a bronze statue outside the stadium of himself. That's how much
thoroughly deserved.
What the fans asked for, isn't it? They wanted him. He got voted for that. So that's how much he means to the St Helens fans. That's how big a role he's played at the St Helens club. Doesn't get any bigger than that. But James Robey, at the same time, played with him for 6 years, and the kid's a freak in nature.
And I think that's what Kieran Cunningham was alluding to. He's played so well. You know, at the moment, he's not getting the sort of coverage, the sort of width and breadth of all of that high profile that a lot of players are enjoying at the moment. What he's stating is because he competes at that high level all the time. It's become normal to view him playing
normal,
like that.
It's normal. I'd say most players in Super League, they start at six. And if sometimes the player good, they'll go up to a seven. If they play very good, they'll go up to an eight. If they don't play too well, they might drop to a five or stay at a six. But I think James Robey starts at an eight every single game, for me, in my opinion.
And that's why he doesn't stick out. When we saw him as a young fella coming up playing underneath Kieran, or coming off the bench playing underneath Kieran, even when he was a bench player coming on to relieve Kieran, he actually won Man of Steel from the bench, was phenomenal. No one had ever done that.
The guy has got a pain threshold that I've never seen anybody else have. He can get smashed in his face, he can get knocked unconscious, he can get elbowed, he can get knocked on the floor. I've seen Marco Mila elbow him straight in the face, legally, knocked out on the floor, stand up, 5 minutes later he's playing on, finishes the game. Last week he got whacked around the head, he got taken off, come straight back on. His pain threshold is a very, very, very tough man, as well as being very, very fit and at the top of his game for the last 10 years now.
Now, but you know, you would agree with me, it's hard to then pull apart and say, well, that player is better than that player. Do you think Kieran's making that sort of statement because what he admires in James Robey isn't what he could do?
Probably.
But the counter argument to that would probably be what James Robey would say, well, there was stuff that Kieran could do that I can't do.
There'd be no bigger compliment for Robes than this coming from Kieran Cunningham. The guy is a messiah. The whole town of St Helens loves Kieran. He's the man. He's an homegrown player. He's, you know, one of the first players to do what he did for Great Britain and to captain St Helens and stay as a one man club. There'll be no bigger compliment for Rob, so I don't think we need to compare them. They're both being two of the best hookers the game's seen, and let's just appreciate him. Well, we've still got him around, Rob, because he's a special player and a good lad as well.
Yeah, we're not retiring him yet. He's still got loads of rugby left in him. How old is he?
The same age as Carl, so he's 28.
No way.
Yeah.
He's been around forever.
Yeah, he's a beast, isn't he?
Oh, man. I've died a little bit on the inside.
It's got another good five years.
That makes me feel so old. How old was he when he started playing?
Only like 18, wasn't he?
Oh, that's sick. That's sick. All right, well, moving on. All respect to Kieran for making that statement, but I think that'll be one that'll be argued till the end of time, especially if you're a hardcore rugby league fan like we all are here in the studio. Okay, Steve Ferris, Bravo Bulls managing director, calling for the marquee player to also be allowed, because it's going to be allowed for in the Super League, should also be allowed for the Championship clubs also. What are your thoughts on that? Marquee player, we know it's coming in. For those who put a little bit of context into it, for 2016, there's going to be two types of marquee players allowed. If you're a homegrown player, I mean, if you spent 3 years or more in the junior ranks before you played the first team for your Super League club, you are only going to have a value of £100,000. So, for example, Sam Tompkins and Wigan. If you're an overseas signing, you'll only have, you can have a capped value of $175,000. Do you think that there should be, and Steve Ferris is saying that, to make things fair, then there should be a marquee dispensation also for the Championship?
I'm not too sure. Just on the money situation, really. As we know, there's a lot of clubs that, you know, maybe struggle financially down there in the lower ends of them leagues. Obviously, Bradford as a club, we're back on top now. We're starting to strive forward with Mark Green in charge and what have you. So for us as a club, for Bradford as a club, you know, it probably looks more financially suitable than probably maybe the lower league teams.
But they've got to have that option. I think that's I think that's what Steve Ferris is arguing.
Yeah,
to have the ability and have the option. And if it is going to happen, then maybe there needs to be some sort of financial evidence given to the governing body, say, actually, we can compete with the Super League clubs. So by that rationale, we should be given dispensation to allow a marquee signing to become on the ranks. But then does that really unbalance the league competition in the Championship?
I think it does unbalance league competition, but obviously at the same time could give you a bit more help in tackling the Super League teams when the playoffs come around.
And I think that's Steve Ferris's counter-argument to that, is that obviously Bradford's aspirations are to be a Super League club, to compete with Super League teams, and there's got to be some sort of level playing field, isn't there?
I think he's completely right in what he's saying. It's a good argument for it to happen next year, maybe.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, though, because they have to look at the dynamics of, okay, you don't want to have too uneven, because obviously we also know in the Championship.
That's what will happen.
I mean, in the Championship in 2016, like in the Super League, all clubs get the same amount of central distribution funding, 1.8 million or whatever it is, around about that type of figure. But in the Championship, it's very different. Depending on where you finish the year before will determine how much money. So starting at, I think, about 800,000, then it goes down, I think, in lots of 50,000 all the way down to the bottom four clubs. That really does skew that also, doesn't it? I mean, but what are we here? Are we focusing on looking at giving an even Championship competition, or are we trying to make it a competitive competition in that, so when it gets to the Super 8, they can compete for those Super League positions?
I think it's one of those questions that will only be to be found out after this season's happened, really. Obviously, it's the first year that we've had this format. And once we've got this season out of the way and we see how the Super League teams battle against the Championship teams, then we'll have a little bit more of an idea, won't we?
Okay. All right, coming up next, we'll name the winner of the Bulls Nando's Takeover ticket, and we'll also look at all of the weekend's upcoming matches. So don't go anywhere. You're with RHP on Pulse 1.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.
Pulse 1. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse 1, and we're continuing on with our look at all things rugby league, as well as looking forward to this weekend's upcoming matches across the competitions. Now, we have our winner for the Nando's, or Bulls Nando's takeover, and I'm going to hand you over, Jakey DeMuss, to read out tonight's winners.
The winner tonight.
I'm not giving away too many tickets.
Ian M. Put his name on Twitter as Ian Three Dog, so congratulations.
Ian Three Dog. That rings a bell. So congratulations to Ian. We'll be in touch, mate, and we'll let you know how you can get a hold of those tickets. And actually, I do this every week. We ask a question and I don't answer it. We just answer who the winner is. And Leon, can you tell everybody, actually, half the conversation was about half the conversation this evening was about the club you were playing at.
Oh, when the Saints go marching in.
You know, I'm a bit of a bone to pick with St. Helens. Wow. Over the course of the years that I played against, I ended up playing, I think it was either 6 or 7 finals. Challenge Cup or Super League Grand Finals against them. Lost every time. That was, I think it was 5 for the Bulls, Challenge Cup and Super League, and it was 6, and 1 again for Huddersfield, where you actually played a part in our demise.
But then I was in the same situation as you, where I lost maybe 4 or 5. I joined them. We won one game against, in the final against, who did we play? played Hull FC in 2006, and then we lost for about six on the bounce against Leeds. Against Leeds, you know what I mean? For me as well. So that killed me. Then we lost six on the bounce grand finals.
You used to die a little bit on the inside.
Just a little bit.
You know, an interesting one this weekend. Actually, this week, Wigan have announced that they're going to play a fixture in the capital. To try and grow their brand. You know, you start thinking about marketplaces. Souths do this really well, and South Sydney Down Under, they play a game in the Northern Territory up in Queensland. They play a game in Western Australia over in Perth, and a bit, purely and simply based on growing the Souths brand in those other areas. What are your thoughts on that? Wigan taking their brand to the big smoke.
I think it's a great idea. If you look across the league of Super League, Wigan is the most marketable club out there, really, because it's the most historic.
Yes,
it's the most
historic,
prestigious,
associated with success
from what they won in the back in the 80s. And
well, there's also those recognisable figures that you relate to Wigan, like Martin O'Fire and Jason Robinson.
Sean Edwards.
A lot of them are in
Farrell.
A lot of them are associated with the big city as well, aren't they?
So people can probably still relate to them down there. They'll still be remembered and still be known. So I think the Wigan brand is, you know, missing a trick if it doesn't get down there, really, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's a great call from Wigan also. Interesting to see, they might be tearing up their field and they have to take a game on the road, so they've made a decision to do that. At short notice, because I just thought it would have been on the schedule a little bit earlier if that had been, a part of a bigger marketing plan. Anywho, good luck to them. Now, let's have a look at this weekend's upcoming matches, mate. Castleford versus St. Helens. I think that's the first game up. I think that's on Thursday night. Cass at Cass against Saints. What are your thoughts on that game? Saints coming off the back end of a big win against Wigan.
Well, I think you'd have to give Saints slight favourites. Obviously, Cass are hard to play on that small ground. That small field is very hard work, because the Castleford forwards like to pass the ball a lot.
Yeah.
And with it being a small field, they've not got far to go back behind the ball when the kick's made, so they're always constantly on the ball, constantly in attack. So they're tough to play on their own field, so I think Cass might do them.
On the back of that also, obviously, with Leeds losing last week and Saints getting their win over Wigan, it meant that they, for the first time, went to the top of the table also.
Yeah.
They're going to be even hungrier to keep a hold of that, aren't they?
Yeah. You know, sometimes in Super League you have a bogey team, and sometimes you have teams that you don't really struggle against. When I was at Saints, Castleford were a team that Saints never struggled with.
Yeah.
At home or away, they always had the beating of them. And I think
Who was that bogey team for Saints? Was it Widnes?
OKR away was always a game.
It didn't matter how they were travelling in the competition.
OKR away, we always lost. Always, no matter what. It was always a tough game.
You know, I've got an idea why that is, because people over in Hull KR, obviously with the Saints team that you played for, had so many stars in it. It was one of those games, actually, there's a big motivating factor for why people turn out to watch games, is the bigger the stars, that even if they're from away teams, you're more interested in going along. But because there were more home fans going along probably to those games, they supported their own teams. And also the fact that, you know, when you play against the teams that aren't playing that well, they get up for the big games.
Yeah, you take it for granted as well.
Yeah. Oh, I learned that when I went to Huddersfield. I absolutely learned that. Obviously, going into teams play differently against us at Huddersfield than they did. Obviously, different now with Huddersfield being so successful. But at the time when we first went there, they were struggling at the bottom of the table.
When I played for Bradford, Wakefield was always a real, very, very hard game.
Yeah.
I went to Saints and we smashed them every year. It's just like Wakefield got up for Bradford, but for Saints it was like an easy game. So yeah, I've noticed a big difference in that myself as well.
Okay, moving forward to the Friday night, we've got Hull KR versus Warrington. What are your thoughts on that one?
I've picked up a fantastic win last week against Castleford. So Warrington a struggle. They'll be really up for this after that loss against Huddersfield. It's a tough game. It's a tough place to go, is Hull KR. So it's a 50-50 game, this one, and that's one I'd like to watch. Is it on Sky, this one? I'd like to watch this one.
I'm not sure if it's on Sky or not.
That'd be a very good game.
Because Hull KR do play their games on Friday nights, so don't they?
Right.
I'm just thinking, though, Warrington are sitting currently on 18 points. Widnes Vikings, who's just inside their bottom four, are on 15 points. It's, as they say, squeaky bottom time for those teams around that time. Obviously, you guys are just sitting inside at fifth from the bottom.
Yep.
Everyone inside their top eight will be working their backsides off to stay inside their top eight. So that's a big bonus working for Hull KR, isn't it?
It is, yeah. There's a lot of games to come up as
well.
Sorry,
I'm working for Warrington.
We've got, speaking from our point of view, we've got Leeds, And then we've got Wakefield on the Wednesday as the catch-up game. Then we play Leeds again on the Challenge Cup, and then we play Wakefield again the week after, I think. So, yep, it's a busy time of the season, squeaky bum time, like you say, and all points are very much needed at this time of the year.
Okay, next up is Wigan versus Salford. This is, I mean, it's at Wigan. Obviously, Wigan coming off the back end of a loss against St. Helens. As we see in the press every single week, Sean Wayne's not happy with their performances. Must be coming down like a ton of bricks on the players themselves.
I read a few of his quotes on Twitter this week, and he said he's watched the game up five times, and there was desire there and there was hunger there, but probably not just the smarts.
Execution.
The smarts, they're giving the penalties away, and just a small thing. So if you've got the desire and the hunger, then it's only a small thing you've got to put right. So
you would argue with there seems to be a lot of issues going around Salford at this point in time. Maybe we can get the opportunity to play in a little bit more space this week and get those issues sorted out.
Yeah, I think Wigan definitely will be favourites for this game. I think they'll get quite a taste of winning, in my opinion.
All right, tough one for Wakefield, having to travel across the Catalans.
Tough game. Catalans win, quite a big win as well, because they're hard, very, very hard to play on their home ground. And obviously, we're going through a bit of a transition period, so I think Catalans should get a decent win there.
Tough one for Brian Smith. Welcome to the Super League. Only here 1 week. Had a tough battle against Salford, where things were starting to get back on track.
Improved performance against Salford, wasn't it?
Oh, 100%. And obviously, that's the sort of ship that Brian Smith runs. Leeds versus Hull. You guys,
it's a tough game. Isn't it?
Tough game.
Yeah. Especially after them losing. They lost the last game against Castle, the way they lost it. So they're going to be looking to improve and to put things right. We've got to improve and put things right from last week, from losing to Catalan. So we both got looking with things to prove to our coaches. So it's going to be a good game. So it's a game on Sunday. So looking forward to it.
All right, Huddersfield travelling down to Widnes.
What do you think this one? Go on.
Actually, I'm going to back Huddersfield. I think they seem to be getting into the groove of their play at the moment. They've proven last week they can mix it and they can get physical if they need to. And they've got a pretty fresh team. So I'm going to back the Giants this one.
Well, I'm going to go with you on that one. I agree with everything you say. And let's say that Huddersfield are slight favourites for that one. Then.
We agree. We agree to agree. All right, in the Kingston Press Championship, Featherstone will take on Doncaster. So, it doesn't get any easier for Donny. Dewsbury will face Halifax at home. And we also have Lee versus Sheffield, which is going to be a tough game for both teams. I think both of them have a lot to play for. London versus Hunslet is also going to be a tough game for Hunslet, travelling down to the Big Smoke once again. Whitehaven home to Batley. And also Bradford are travelling up to Workington. And boys, that's it for us this week. My thanks to Leon,
no problem,
Jakey to Mus, and Ewan for all their work this afternoon. Big thanks for all of you listening wherever you are tonight. Make sure you join us next Wednesday, and Total Access is next here on Pulse One. So enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One. Every Wednesday evening from 6.
The Robbie Hunter-Paul Show with Provident, a Yorkshire business since 1880.